For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Dear listeners, welcome to the Kodesh Family Church, Philadelphia, under the leadership of Bishop Dag Heward Mills. This denomination has grown with over several branches all over the world. We are excited to come your way with the anointed word of God, which has the power to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned as we receive God's word through his servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer.
Put your hand on your heart and invite God to speak to you this morning. Ask God to give you a personal message. Come on, just tell God, God, I'm allowing you, I want you, I desire you to speak to me personally. Ask God to help you not to be offended by his word this afternoon as his word comes, that you will be open to his word, to receive his word, and to hear his word. Jesus, come on, lift up your voice. Oh, say, God, speak to me, speak to our hearts, change us, impart us, affect us through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Father, we are so grateful to you for this afternoon. Thank you for this few moments with you and your word. We ask that you speak to us. Let there be a great impartation as we listen to your word and share your word in Jesus' name. Amen. All shall say amen, and you may be seated. All right. So forget about the heat for just a few minutes. It's not too bad. And we'll share a little bit of something here. Amen. So before we watch a clip on Bishop's life, it's 18 minutes long. So now we'll just close the last 18 or 20 minutes with this, with the video clip. I want to share with you a little something about honoring. First of all, what do we understand by the word honor? You are allowed to use dictionary. What does it mean to honor? To hold in high esteem. To respect. What do you understand by honor? To respect. What else? Give me something else other than to respect. To listen to. Okay, so you regard, you listen to. Okay. Mary, you got some definitions here? Hold in very high respect. My dear brother Ifwe, do you have some definitions of honor? To place on a pedestal. Woo! Wow! I think Ifwe is an English major student. That's good. Beautiful. Anything else? Stephanie.
To give respect.
Use some other word nobody has used. Hi. What other word?
Esteem.
So use another word.
Say cherish.
Okay, you are blessed. Amen. So all those are words that can be used. Just before I came in, I was just looking at it. And let me see what it says here. So to honor, first of all, it can be used as a noun or a verb, isn't it? Distinction, privilege, glory, tribute, prestige, fame, merit, credit, importance, notability. So all these are ways or words of honor. Okay? Then you want to go on down there. Fulfill, observe, keep, discharge, implement, perform, execute. These are all, as a verb, it's said to be, they are said to be the synonyms. So I think we get a good picture of what it is. So God calls, are you listening? God calls on us to honor fathers, isn't it? That we're supposed to honor our fathers. Did you honor your father recently on his birthday? You don't know his birthday. So choose a day and celebrate it, right? You can choose a day. You can choose the same day as your birthday and just celebrate as your father's birthday. Huh? One of the ways to honor a father is to celebrate his birthday, to recognize his birthday and put him on the, what was your word again? Pedestal. What, he said pedestal of gold or something. What did he say? Pedestal of something. Okay. So that word. You should put your father on that day. Do you have a father that you celebrate his birthday? Do you remember his birthday? You remember his birthday? Do you celebrate it? Do you buy him a card? But you're going to do it from now on. All right? And the reason why we do that is also so that what we just read, so that in 1 Peter 1:6, isn't it? So that the word of God, the doctrine, his teachings will not be defiled or blasphemed. Amen. So we should honor. All right? Now, it is a problem when we don't honor fathers. You see, in many things, listen to what I'm saying carefully. Are you listening? In many things, there are no in-betweens. Okay? Either you honor someone or you don't honor the person. You see, when we start using words to describe something, then we start pulling ourselves out and we think that it doesn't apply to us. But the opposite of honor is to dishonor. And dishonor just means not honoring. You see, so either you honor or you dishonor. There's no in between. And God wants us to honor our fathers. All right? Now, it's a problem when you forget to honor. It's a big problem when you forget to honor fathers. Because when you forget to honor this, when you forget to honor fathers, what you do is that you dishonor fathers. So those who forget to honor fathers is that you are actually dishonoring fathers. It's true. I take it even a step further and I honor people around me. I honor my wife when it's her birthday. I make it a point to remember. I put things in place so I don't forget, because it's an important thing. She's somebody that is important to me. And I am important to her. She honors my birthday. And she organizes things behind me. Now she's out of tricks. There's nothing else she can do. Because whatever she knows, she tries to do, I'll find out. And I'll say it. So her tricks are finished over this few years. But whatever it is, she will try to do something to show that it's a special occasion in our lives. That is honor, all right? So what I'm saying is that it's a problem when we forget to honor, because we are now dishonoring. Are you understanding? Now, in the Bible, there is a very peculiar story which many have argued about. Many have said all sorts of things against, but it is still nevertheless the truth. All right, let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 9. And we'll look at verse 22. Genesis 29 and verse 22. Pakwesi, are you here? This is, I don't hear the amen. You say, amen. This is, I don't hear it anymore. You always come to church and you are sleepy. So Genesis 9:22, it says, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. Now, is this honor or dishonor? Clear. We don't have to have a debate on this. Ham saw the nakedness of his father. And not only did he stop there, he told his two brethren about it. Now, when you read the Bible, you have to add a little bit of imagination to it. Do you think that Ham just went in and said, oh, I saw that this nakedness? No, he must have been laughing. More likely or not, I saw daddy's thing. I saw daddy totally drunk and naked. So that is what he did. You see, when you honor someone, You do not even look at the mistakes associated with the person. Yeah. In fact, when I think of my dad, my younger sister is here, me and my sister's dad, I don't remember anything in my mind that my dad did wrong. And I'm sure he had mistakes because he's a human being. In my mind, my dad was a superhero. In fact, I feel that if he was around, he was still around, my life would be many times better than it is now. He would have done so many things for me. One of the things he told me just before he died, I said, I'm thinking of building you a house. My father, before he died. So, I have good memories about him. And it is because of honor. See, the Bible says that love covereth a multitude of sins. When you love someone and you honor the person, therefore, you see that their mistakes would be even less. When you honor Bishop, you see that, and you love him, you see that even the mistakes that you see in church, like the church is too hot, like the church is this. Somebody like Ifwe, you know, I was very surprised when I got to know him more, that Ifwe actually was one of the people who started going to Lighthouse then called in Accra, Ghana, many years ago. Yeah, when all the senior bishops were not even bishops. They were ordinary pastors. Do you see? And I believe that it's because of Anna. That's one of the reasons why, despite every absence, he still is here. And he will still come to church here. Because he knows a long history with Lighthouse. And his heart is for it. So when you honor someone, are you listening? Romeo, are you here? When you honor someone, when you honor your father, you won't see the mistakes of your father. Amen. You won't see your father marrying 20 women. And all the mistakes that he did. And all the issues that he had. The only thing you remember about your dad is that my dad is good. All the good things would overshadow the bad things. That is honor. So this guy called Ham, he had a problem. He laughed at his father. Let's read the story, the context of the story a little bit. Let's go to Genesis 9. We're in Genesis 9, right? Let me pick a few verses and then we'll read it. Genesis 9. Let's read from verse 19. Genesis 9, 19. Let's go back to verse 19. It says, these are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. So if you go by the Bible, you know what happened, right? There was a huge flood, etc., etc., etc. The whole earth was wiped off, isn't it? And it was Noah's family that came forth out of it. So it says that Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. Are you here? And look at what happened. Of course, when you plant vineyards, you get grapes. And when you get grapes, some of the grapes ferment. And when some of the grapes ferment, what happens is that it becomes wine. And when you drink the wine, what happens is that you get drunk. I'm not saying that go and get drunk, but that is what happened. So Noah drank, and he drank of the wine and was drunken. And when people are drunk, they uncover themselves. You begin to see things that you should not see. Yeah. And he was in his tent. I don't think he was lying outside. He was in his tent. And like Archbishop Duncan Williams says, every man of God has his own tent where he can be himself. So Noah was in his tent being himself. And Ham, I'm sure he may be, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. He did knock. Pa Noah, Papa Noah, Daddy Noah, can I come in? But there was no response. So he went in. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. He didn't keep quiet. He didn't honor him. But instead, he went out and told his two brethren without. Look at what happened. Verse 23. And Shem and Japheth took a garment. Don't forget, he had three sons, isn't it? And the sons were Shem, Japheth, and Ham. And Shem and Japheth took a garment. They didn't laugh. They did not laugh. Thank God they didn't laugh. Because if they had laughed, they would have been just like him, Ham. But the Bible says they took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward. They went backward. They refused to see the nakedness of their father. They refused to see the shortcomings of their father. They refused to see all the bad things that their father had said. They put the thing on their shoulder. So you can imagine Shem here, Japheth here, with a huge cloth, and they are walking backwards, until they got to a place and they felt, oh, we are the right, and they just threw it on him and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward. And they saw not their father's nakedness. So how come you want to see your father's nakedness? It's dishonoring. You should cover your father's nakedness. And always remember where you came from. And look at what happened. And Noah awoke from his wine. So he came back to himself. And knew what his younger son had done unto him. Go on. And he said, cursed be Canaan. Cursed be Canaan. You see, I'm not going to go into the controversy or me, I believe what Bishop preaches, but I don't want to say it, and then when we go, you say, oh, today Reverend said this, but let's leave it as is. But this was the curse. Cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. I mean, the curse is that you not just be a servant, but you be the servant of the servant. That's low, bottom line. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And Canaan shall be what? His servant. So there are only three men. Oh, three men left. I mean, excluding Noah. All right. And this is the blessing and curses. So Ham, he says, "Hey, you are cursed." Look at verse 25 again. Look at verse 25 again. Go back there. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." Then 26. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Canaan shall serve Shem. 27. And shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Man, I said, man, it's not a good story. Is it a good story? It's not a good story. When you go to verse 18, you understand Canaan better. Look at verse 18. Look at verse 18. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. So there's no ambiguity there at all. So the curse was on when he's talking about Canaan. Canaan shall serve, Canaan shall serve, Canaan shall serve. He's actually talking about the descendants of Ham. All just for dishonoring a person. So ladies and gentlemen, honoring is very, very important. We should not take it for granted. And I believe that every opportunity that God gives to us to honor a man that is given to us, that honor is due, we must take it and honor him. Honor your father. Can I say this? As we close with this short message. Whenever you learn something in church well, you will see that it will permeate. Do you understand the word permeate? It will go into every area of your life. Yes. Learn everything you can in church. You see that as you learn it, when you learn how to honor in church, you see that it will not be a problem to honor other people that you need to honor. Sometimes even honoring your boss. Yeah. Honoring your boss. I have learned how to honor in church. Honoring my boss is not a problem. Yeah. It's not a problem at all. In fact, sometimes they laugh at me. They feel like I suck it to my boss and I'm so much of a hypocrite. But it's not that I'm a hypocrite. I can't. I mean, how do we go out and we go and eat somewhere? Eh? And my boss, she would often take us to very good places to eat. And when we finish eating, she has her food part. And then we're all leaving the place and she's holding a box. No, I can't do that. If I sometimes when I look at her, I look at whenever I'm relating to her, I relate to her like I would relate to Bishop. I would take her box and hold it. She'll say, oh, no. I said, no. She calls me Dr. Fleisch. She said, no, I'll hold it. And I will take her box to the car. I'm not going to allow her to carry her own box or a paper bag, a rubber bag. No, she's my boss. She is my boss. Every month or every two, she's the one who signs off a paycheck for me. Very significant person in my life. And I want to honor her. Are you understanding? And I'm saying that when you do these things in church, it helps you. You see that it builds up your life. And you see that you will begin to honor people that you need to honor people. All right. Now, can I end by showing you this? Are you listening? Now, when you talk, are you listening? I'm always done. I promise you. We're going to watch a clip and we're done. When you talk about fathers, okay? When you talk about the father, it immediately brings a child. Do you understand? If I'm your father, then you are a child. Mary, do you understand? If I'm a father to you, then you are my daughter. Right? So that is the definition of fathers. Fathers just automatically means that there's a child involved. If there's no child involved, there's no father. If there's no mother involved, there's no child. So a father child, you see. Now, so that by itself stipulates a person relating to a father assuming the posture of a child. Now, there's a reason why it is called a child. Because children basically have no choice typically, other than honoring a father. Do you understand? Take, for example, a little boy here. I mean, he has no choice. He cannot do anything but honor his father because he's a child. He will eat what is provided. He will drink what is provided. Yeah, I mean, is it not so? He has no choice. I mean, his father's choices are his choice. That is what makes it. So the moment he gets to a certain age and he says, I am an old person now. I'm an adult. Okay. Buy your own food. Pay your own rent. Pay your own bills. Is it not so? So that is why, you see, and it's only a child. Can you understand it? It's only a child who can be treated that way. It is only a child who can be treated that way. It's only a child that can be treated that way. You have to have a childlike heart. Otherwise, you cannot be a son. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If you cannot have a childlike heart, you cannot be a son or a daughter. Mary, if you're a daughter, I mean, then a father must be able to tell you, sit down, you sit down. Get up, you get up. Go here, you go here. Go there, you go there. I have a son. In fact, I have two sons. One is graduating next week from Rutgers. The other one is in pre-med in Rowan. You know, the one in Rowan College stays at home. He's a day student. I can't tell him anything. In fact, this morning I went to look in the sky and I realized the carpet was dirty. And I forgot to tell him. But my immediate instruction when I came here, clean that car now. Because it's my son. He lives in my house. He eats my food. I buy gas. I put gas in the car. In fact, even the car, I bought it. I paid the insurance. He doesn't lift a finger. He's a child. His clothes, yes. When he's broke, I put money in his account. In fact, one of his accounts is actually in my account. You understand? Which is smart. So that whenever I can always, when I go and check my balance and his balance, and I wire, I just do the same. I don't even have to wire it. It's just moving from one account to the other. That is a child. So you have to have a childlike attitude. We must be able to instruct you. We must be able to tell you, sit down. I cannot tell you how many times I've been told to sit down. Yeah, or do this in this church. Just because I remain a child. I remain a son. I'm told what to do. I'm told even how to preach, what to preach. And as I'm growing, I realize that it's good though. In fact, it's very good that I'm told what to do. Yeah. Stephanie would not sing any song without telling me what. Yesterday, when you sent that, I was awake. Yeah, 4 a.m. I was awake. I was trying to read and pray. And only I just didn't respond. It was for something, was it not? Yeah. Reverend, can I sing this song? 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And I said, I'll give it a thumbs up. Yeah, sing. That is a child. When you're a child, we must be able to tell you what that is honoring. And you prefer the instructions we give you. So listen to this. I mind you. Are you listening? I'm going to give you one last verse. You see, when your heart becomes difficult, it's a sign that you are now overgrown. And you cannot be instructed. Look at Ecclesiastes 4:13. And I'm closing my Bible. I promise you, I'm done. Ecclesiastes 4:13. Last verse. Then watch the clip. Ecclesiastes 4:13. Look at it. Ecclesiastes 4:13. Are you understanding the message on Bishop's birthday? All right. It says, better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. These days we don't record our messages. It's a powerful thing I'm saying. I can feel it's hitting me myself. Better is a poor and a wise child. The child is poor, but he's a child. He has nothing. And the Bible is saying that he's better than an old king who has a lot of money, who sits on a throne. Eh? And yet foolish. Why? Because he cannot be admonished. Look at the Amplified. Give me the Amplified. Let's end with Amplified. Look at the Amplified version. Better is a poor and wise youth. Yeah. Youth. Than an old and foolish king. Why? Who no longer knows how to receive counsel. Friendly reproof and warning. You've lost it. You are no more a child. You are no more a child. You cannot be. And this is my last statement to you. Listen. Find yourself someone who can refrain you. Period. If you cannot be restrained by anyone, I said refrain, by restrained. If you cannot be restrained by anyone, Parkway, find someone who can restrain you. Because you need it. Everybody needs it. Everybody needs a father that the father can say, stop it. It's finished. Say, stop it. Everybody. Because in life, you will need it. Everybody needs somebody who can instruct him or her and say, this is it. You cannot cross this line. And because you have that childlike heart towards a person, you can say, yes, daddy, I won't do it. you need it. Justin, are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Because if you don't do it, you will not succeed. It will always lead you to failure. Yeah. Because you always get to, a crossroads in life where somebody has to say, stop it. Go to your corner. And you also go to your corner. And if you cannot take it, 90% of your life is gone. Not even only marriage, but everything else. Everything else. Even at job, I'm telling you, at work, I hear Bishop's voice. Wow. Yes. You know, a father can talk to you both passively and actively. I can almost hear, what will Bishop say in this situation? What will Bishop do in this situation? What is Bishop saying to you? He's always my guide. Always my guide. Always my guide. Always my guide. And thank God I always listen. And I say to myself, because of this, because of what I've learned, because of what my father has taught me, because of what I've learned from this church, I will not do this. And always brought great results in my life. Wow. So ladies and gentlemen, as we honor Bishop on his birthday, I want to encourage all of you to open your eyes. Let your heart be open. You are here already anyway. Open your heart and let this be a great blessing. And one of the things I was thinking about this afternoon was, you know, I'm supposed to be having a shepherd's camp with the church. Shepherds, pastors, and shepherds. I'm thinking of now, I would rather want to have a camp with all the youthful people in the church. Yeah. So we'll take the youthful people here and all the youthful people in the other branches. Of course, the pastors would also be part of it. Because I think you are key. You are in a very peculiar position. We keep coming back to the same. Listen, when I started listening to Bishop, I was in my 20s. Yeah, I was in my 20s. And maybe that is why his voice is still significant to me. And I've not become an old foolish king who cannot be admonished. Yeah, so you think about it. Pastor Kobe, I'm sorry. But I'd rather want to have a camp with the youthful people in the church. Yes, the youthful people in the whole diocese. Let's find a place. We can use the same venue. Yeah. One say. Yeah. And I'll select. There are some names when I come out across, I'll say, we are full. Yeah. Pastor Kobe, are you listening? Yeah, when we start ready, I'll cross out certain names. I'd rather have a little camp with just so let's talk. Because I want that same impartation to go into people. Yeah, I was just calculating. The time I started working with Bishop, I was in my 20s. Wow. This year, I'm going to be 55. Yeah. I was in my 20s. That is why his voice is so significant to me. And I want that for you too. You see? And it's not necessarily by age as in 20s. You see, that's why in this second, I always say that, look, there are two groups of people. There are people who are youthful at heart and youthful by age. You see, and to me, they are all the same. You can still remain a child. Yeah. And in any case, that actually denotes maturity. The more mature you are, the more childish you become. That is why we get old and then we become like children and then we go home to be with the Lord. Yeah. Because when you're a child, isn't that what the scripture says? Yeah, when I was a child, you know, I did whatever I wanted to. But when I became old, now your hands are bound and you are led. Do this, do this, do this, do this. That's a sign that you are actually maturing. Not the opposite. But the world thinks that when you are so independent, you can do whatever you like, pull your own shoe. That is what makes you mature. That's the opposite. Brother Frankie, it's amazing. Yeah, maturity is actually rather that your hands are bound. And you are being led. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. Turn here, go there, go this, do this, sit here, do this, do this. Yeah. That's what actually makes you a mature person. Amen. Stand to your feet as we close.